Bible friends, is essential, don't you know, for the body to come to know the true and living God, one that is, you know, who made heaven and earth, you, me, and the one, of course, that we, all of us, know exists. But of course, in order to come to know Him, in terms of relationship, intimacy, one needs the Bible. That's why we come to you from the Bible and offer to you copies of the Bible, the New Testament, freely offered to you. Yours take and do with as you will. No cost, no obligation to you. Do with it as you will. It's word of God, and of course, as I say, it's necessary in order for you to come to a knowledge of God's salvation. As I say, the foundation of our ministry to you, the word of God, you see, because that's the only justification that you have really for anything, for your existence, for science, for any meaningful thought. Otherwise, you see, without God's word, without God's revelation, you have no justification for anything that you think or anything that you do. People, of course, they say to me, they come out with the word science, they say. And I tell them, I say, science is just, is simply a conceptual tool. I mean, in order to do science, you need knowledge. So where do you get the knowledge from to do science? Knowledge you do not get from a material, natural universe. Knowledge comes from an intelligent mind. So in order to do science, philosophy, chemistry, anything else, you must needs have knowledge. But you have no justification. If you believe in evolution, if you're an atheist, so-called, you have no justification, you see, for the knowledge that enables you to do these things. But I do. I have a justification. I have a source of knowledge. The revelation of God given to us in His Word, the Bible. You see, the Bible tells us that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ. Without Him, you see, you can know nothing. And without Him, you can do nothing. And without Him, you cannot justify even a meaningful thought. So we begin, you see, with the Word of God. Essential, absolutely essential. Knowledge that enables you, mankind, to do all kinds of fearful and wonderful things. But enables a person to come to a knowledge of God, a right knowledge of God, a saving knowledge of God. The Bible declares, friends, that there is no such thing as an atheist. No such thing. In all the planet Earth, everybody, you and I included, we all know that God is. You have an innate knowledge of God built into you by your Creator, by your Maker. So what's the problem? Why is it the wrath of God abides upon you? Well, for this reason, because you hold the truth in unrighteousness, suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness. You don't want there to be a God, for the same reason that the thief doesn't want there to be a policeman. You don't want there to be a God. Why? Because you have a stubborn, corrupt, fallen, sinful nature that hates God and hates anything to do with God. But in spite of that, you see, God in His Word has granted to us not only the revelation of Himself, the revelation of yourself, a true knowledge of yourself, what you're truly like, not the reflection in the mirror on the wall that you see every morning, but the reflection that you see in the mirror of God's Word in His holy law. And you see before you a hardened sinner. You see before you someone who's wretched, vile, deceitful-hearted, and desperately wicked. That's God's revelation of human nature. And why, friends, you need my Bible? Why, friends, you need my Gospel? Why, friends, you need my Savior? Why, friends, you need God's salvation? The Gospel of God, the power of God unto salvation. And God's demand of you is not that you ask for proof that God is, not that you ask for evidence, but that you raise the white flag in surrender to Almighty God in the way of repentance and faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ. That, friends, is what is required of you. But of course, in every day and generation, men hear the Gospel over and over again. And many, of course, in this, our day and generation, harden themselves. God says in His Word, today if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts, because that's a dangerous thing to do. But many, of course, do that. But the Bible poses a question to you with regards to that. Who hath hardened himself against God and hath prospered? The Bible doesn't answer the question directly, but the answer, of course, is clear and logical. No one ever prospered in hardening their hearts against God. Bible asks many questions. It asks the question, can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Impossible. How can you bring cleanness, purity, righteousness, holiness out of an unclean vessel, heart, soul such as yours? Bible asks another question, can you change the spots on a leopard? For you this is impossible. You see, that's his natural state. Well, says God, how can you, who are accustomed to doing evil, how can you do good? This too is naturally impossible for you, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. You must be born again, says Jesus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. A supernatural, miraculous, powerful, mighty act of God in Jesus Christ. That's what it takes to bring cleanness out of you. That's what it takes to change your nature. That's what it takes to make you a new creature in Jesus Christ. Friends, the miracle of the new birth. But here's the question for this afternoon. Who hath hardened himself against God and has prospered? Answer, nobody. Nobody at all. There's a connection, you see, between submission, surrender, repentance, and redemption. But there's also a connection between impenitence and a person hardening themselves, that is, against God, rejecting the Gospel over and over again, and their damnation. You see, friends, what you do with the Gospel, what you do with God's Son, is of the utmost importance. For God so loved the world, the Bible says that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But this is the condemnation, says God, that you have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. That's the condemnation, and that condemnation remains upon you as long as you continue hardening yourself, rejecting the gospel, rejecting the offer of God's salvation. The Bible tells me, friends, that you already exist in a state of enmity against God. You're born into this world in that state and condition. You come from your mother's womb with your fist raised in your Maker's face, says God. Enmity, hostility, hatred in your heart against God right from day one. Friends, that's the natural state of every one of us born into this world, unless we're reborn, unless we're born again. Friends, if that's the state that you're already in, I mean, why make it worse by hardening yourself, causing that enmity, that hatred to grow into a loathing of God and of the gospel? Hath any man ever prospered by hardening themselves against God, says the Bible? And the answer, of course, is no, most definitely not. That's the head towards the perfect variance, contrariety to God. Young woman asked me the question. She said, what does it mean to be ungodly? It means to be at variance. It means to be contrary to God in your nature, in your natural born state and condition. It means to be at variance, contrary to God in your practice. And that's how you are, friends, until you're born again. Hatred, hostility in your heart. You're one of two things. You're either a natural born God hater or a supernaturally reborn God lover. Friends, you must be born again. That enmity must be erased, must be taken out of your heart. God taking the stone out of your heart and giving you a heart of flesh, circumcising your heart and giving you new desires, new loves, love for God, hatred for sin, a desire for holiness, a desire for the things that you once hated. It's the sinner's heart, you see. A heart full of depravity, says God, not subject to God, nor subject to His law. It's the palace of the devil, until God comes, that is, and cleanses it. A tomb of uncleanness is how the Bible describes the human heart. How can you possibly bring something clean out of such a heart as that? Now, friends, God must come, and by the gospel and the gospel alone, cleanse and purify your heart. Only the gospel can do that, you see. But if you harden your heart against God, against the gospel, against the Son of God, how can you possibly prosper? It's an impossibility. But in the gospel, friends, is the hope of cleansing. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed on the cross in order that your heart might be washed and made clean, and all the filth of sin removed, all the depravity, the deceitfulness, the wickedness, the evil, the suppressing of the truth and unrighteousness removed. New desires, friends. A desire for God, a desire for His Son, a desire for the gospel, a desire for heaven. The sinner's heart changed. But you cannot prosper, friends. You cannot prosper if you harden yourself against God. But of course, it's the sinner's speech, you know. It's what comes out of your mouth, you see, that shows, that reveals, expresses what's in your heart. You know, the evil that pours out of your heart, the blasphemy, you know. all the thoughts and intentions of man's heart, you see, expressed by the mouth, by what you confess, by what you say, the lies that you tell, the gossip that you do. Friends, full of cursing and bitterness, says God. That's the natural state of men and women. Proving, you see. You look at the tree and how do you know it's a good tree or not? Well, you examine the fruit. By their fruits you shall know them. What comes out of the mouth? What comes out of the heart, you see? It's out of the heart, says Jesus, proceeds evil thoughts. They are turned equally into evil actions. You see, what comes out of the mouth proves what is in your heart. And proves the very matter, you see, that God declares here, you see, uncleanness. And then, of course, expressed also in the sinner's life, in all that you do, you see, you say and you think, everything is tinctured by sin. I mean, what could any one person in this world possibly offer to God? You know, when everything, all that you say, do and think is tinctured by sin. You see, friends, you get nothing to offer to God. Absolutely nothing at all. All is spoiled. Everything is marred by sin, separated from God by your iniquities. Unless, you see, the heart is made clean, the heart is healed, the heart is made new, unless you're born again, as Jesus puts it, you must be born again. The nature, the heart must be changed. Make the tree good and the fruit will be good. Make the heart good and the man will be good. But friends, that's why you need my gospel. But if you harden yourself against God, if you harden yourself against the Son of God, who hath hardened himself against him and prospered, no one ever did, I tell you, I promise you, no one ever hardened themselves against God and prospered. That's an impossibility. And friends, as long as you continue on in that vein, you are walking in a continuous act of rebellion against your Maker. Bible, he says, the intentions and thoughts of man's heart are nothing but continual evil. That's each and every single one of us born into this world. There has to be a change that's impossible with you. There has to be a change, there has to be an alteration, there has to be a transformation that you cannot bring about yourself, that religion can't do for you, the philosophy can't do for you, man's thinking can't do for you, politics can't do for you. Only one person can do for you, and that's the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. A person, the gospel, friends, not religion. Religion never put the life of God into the soul of man. Only the new birth does that. Only Jesus Christ, only the Son of God can do that. A person, have you got it? Christ died for the ungodly. Christ a person. And what did he do? He died on a Roman cross. He spilled his blood, atoning blood, sacrificial blood, shed for sinners that they might be washed and made clean. And who did he do it for? He did it for ungodly sinners, contrary to God, at variance with God. Far from God, separated from God because of their iniquities, because of their rebellion. That's the nature of the incorrigibleness, of the enmity that lies in the hearts of every man, woman and child in this world. And that's why the nature must be changed, the heart must be changed, the practice must be changed, everything must become new. That incorrigibleness must go. But if you continue on in your impenitence, you continue to harden yourself, you cannot and you will not prosper. But the hardening process, well, the progression in sin, you know, you go on, instead of obeying the gospel, instead of submitting, instead of surrendering to God, who you know exists just the same as I do, you have the knowledge. You have the knowledge of God built into you. It's inescapable. But you suppress the truth. You hold the truth in unrighteousness. You carry on. You go forward in that way, growing in a life of vice, you know. Everything that's contrary to God, contrary to His holiness, contrary to His character, contrary to His holy law. And the more and more you go on, you see, it begins with habits, you know. You never intend for them to get a hold of you. You convince yourself, well, you know, I'll just have a cigarette, you know. It won't control me, I'll control it. Or you dabble in the drugs, you know. Of the immorality, how you doing, all right?
God bless you, brother, in the name of Jesus.
You too.
Yeah,
two or three are gathered together.
Yeah, there you go.
We just ask, Lord, that the message that this man is speaking out, Father, would go to the ears of the needy.
Let me carry on.
Ask, Lord, that you will be...
So you see, friends, you know, that nobody sets out to become trapped, you know. No one ever sets out to become in bondage to these vices and sinful habits, you know. They grip the hearts of mankind. I can control it, you see, you know. You have the drink, and then the drink takes you, you know. You have the fag, and the fag takes you. You have the drugs, and the drug takes you. You have the immorality, and the immorality takes you. You never set out thinking that's how it'll be. Oh, I can control it, you see. It won't control me the way it does others. But it does. But it does, friends. Before you know it, you're trapped. You know, you're always growing, you're always moving forward, one way or the other, towards God or away from God. You know, growing more and more in your enmity against God, in a life of vice contrary to God. Your desire for sin grows. Your love for sin grows instead of diminishing. What you should be loving, holiness, what you should be desiring, the kindness, the mercy, the goodness, and the love of God. But these you hate, you see, and whatever way you decide, you choose to walk, you see, you grow in it. You never stand still. You're moving forwards towards eternity all the time, friends. And if you're hardening yourself, I tell you, against God, you cannot prosper. You cannot prosper. The end of it will not be good. I promise you, it will not be good. You harden yourself and you're moving incorrigibly. You're moving towards the ruin of damnation. Be warned, friends. Be warned. It's not wrong to warn people. Love warns. Love warns. You see somebody in danger, you know that they're in danger, you warn them if you love them. It's only hateful people that don't warn. Parent who never warns their children is guilty of not loving their children. Churches who do not tell you the truth will not tell you the truth. You have many of them in Stafford. They will not stand here, tell you what kind of a sinner you are. They will not stand here and tell you how you can be saved from the ruin of damnation, from your incorrigibleness. They'll do all manner of things for you. They'll feed you, dance for you, they'll keep you fit. They'll do all kinds of things for you. But they won't tell you the truth as it is in Jesus. Love warns, friends. There is something to be saved from. The recompense of sin now in this world that ruins many in body, in mind, in soul, eternally. If you do not turn, if you do not repent and believe the gospel, if you do not believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. But you grow one way or the other, harder or softer. You harden yourself, you cannot prosper. Who has ever, the Bible poses the question, who has hardened himself against God and have prospered? No one, friends. No one ever did. You grow in your desire for sin. You grow in vices of sin until you're given over to it. Until God just simply gives you what you want, gives you what you desire. I tell you, friends, the worst thing that God can do for any human being on this planet is to give you over to what you want. I don't want God. Don't have any thought of God. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about Him, you say. Okay, says God. Okay, I'll give you what you want. Give you over to the power of self. And isn't that the God of the age? Isn't that your God today in the United Kingdom? The God of self? The one you look at in the mirror, you bow down and worship each and every morning. The God of self. Friends, the end of that's ruin. The end of that's damnation. The end of that's eternal ruin. No one ever prospered by hardening themselves against God. And then, of course, the progress in indifference. Indifference to God. You see, that continues on apace too, you know. The fear of God is cast aside, you know. God is lost sight of, forgotten. The nation, the Bible says, and the person who forgets God shall be cast into hell. Now, you forget God, your nation has already done that, seems to me. Going down by the day, going down and down into the depths of depravity, more and more sin, more and more wickedness, less and less fear of God. But friends, a person, a nation that forgets God, the man, Russian man, Solzhenitsyn, you know, he was saying just a while back there, you know, he wrote many books. He studied the case of his own nation, Russia. It troubled him for many, many years, decades, as to why so many millions of his own countrymen had perished. He says, I've written volumes on it. He says, I've come to one simple conclusion. We forgot God. We forgot God. That was it, friends. That was the cause, and millions of people perished, not just their natural lives, but their souls. The nation that forgets God shall be cast into hell, says God. You cannot prosper and forget God. You cannot prosper and harden yourself against God. Impossible. And then you grow, of course, in your presumption. Presumption against God's authority and all other authority. I guess that's why, you know, you got a generation before you now that doesn't answer to any authority. Whether it be the government, whether it be the police, the courts, it don't matter. Anti-authoritarian. You wonder why your children, you know, rebel against their schoolmasters. Huh? You wonder why your kids rebel against you. They learn it from you. Huh? They learn it from you. That's where they get it from. They got the nature from you, and they get the practice from you as well. They become like you. They can't do any other. Anti-authoritarian, no fear of God before your eyes. And the result of that is that you do the most heaven-daring abomination. Things that you allow for, things that you legislate for, even immorality, wickedness, such sexual immorality that shouldn't even be mentioned in the public forum. Disgusting perversion of marriage. It's not marriage at all. It's a wicked, evil mirage. Friends, such wickedness would never have been known even 50 years ago in your nation. But you harden yourself against God. You see, and that's where you go. That's where it takes you. You harden yourself against God. You don't prosper. You degenerate into all kinds of filth, into all kinds of heaven-daring, abominable practices. Yeah, it's still an abomination. Cameron legislated for it. Your government tells you it's okay, but God says not. He says it's still an abomination. Marriage is between one man and one woman. It's called holy matrimony because it's God-given, God-ordained. And you tamper with it, you're in dangerous, dangerous ground. Presumptuous daring, you know, unreasonable, ungrateful, unjust, base, incorrigible, impenitent, unreformable. That's the nation. That's the nation. That's the person that hardens him or herself against God. And the effects of it are not prosperity. The effects of it are ruinous. You cannot prosper. You cannot succeed. It never, never happened yet. But friends, you can prosper in terms of material things. You can gain the whole world. But Jesus says, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what's the profit in that? Your riches are transient. Oh, you see, I'm well fed. You see, I got plenty stored up for many days. I got a gold-plated pension looking forward to. You might never see it, friends. You might never see it. What would it profit you if you should gain the whole world and yet lose your soul at the end of the day? You know, the Bible tells me that riches are often given to the reprobate. Psalm 73, if you care to look at it, God gives to the reprobate. He gives them riches. He gives them luxuries in order to put them on the slippery slope down into the damnation of hell. You cannot prosper, friend. You cannot harden yourself against God and prosper. Oh, yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, I just wanted to say it. Spoke to me a few weeks ago.
Did I? Right.
Afflicted,
yeah. Oh, right. Don't remember. I'm sorry.
No. It's not. I've been through quite a lot the last
year. Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'm very struggling.
Right. Doing better now?
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
We've come out of all religion. We don't follow any religion.
Right.
Religion.
Okay.
Mind doctrine.
Right.
And,
okay.
I would have stayed towards Christianity.
Yeah.
But do you remember search? I found that they removed his name from the Bible, the King James Version. I'll show you this if you like in historical research. So now we follow a very, very narrow road. We keep to the Ten Commandments, keep our Sabbath. We're trying to learn to understand the moral of the Torah.
Changed
his name. What about Jesus? Yahuwah.
What about Jesus, though? What about Jesus?
Yahusha.
Jesus, you need, ma'am.
Have a look yeah. At Hebrew Palin.
Yeah, but my friend, have a word with my friend there, look. Yeah. So you see, you know, friends, there's all kinds of confusion. Yeah, good for you. Good for you. How you doing, sir? What? Catholic. Not open the Pope. Not open the Pope, sir. Not open the Pope. So you see, friends, there's all kinds of, you know, religious confusion about, you know. People think, you know, that, you know, the religion's the answer, but, you know, it's not. It's not, friends. It's, you know, when I talk about suppression of the truth, or rather when the Bible talks about suppression of the truth, you know, Men use atheism, they use evolutionism to do it. Some people use religion. You know, it might be Islam, it might be Roman Catholicism, it might be, Buddhism, Confucianism, all your world religions, anyone you care to name. You see, it's just, it's idolatrous religion, and people use it to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Just the same as many of you use unbelief, you know. It's all unbelief at the end of the day. It's all the fruit of unbelief. Friends, there's only one road out, and that's the gospel. That's God's Son, Jesus Christ. It's simple, you know. Another question posed for you in the Bible, you know. What think you of Christ? You know, that's the most important question you could possibly be asked. And it's not one I tell you to answer either lightly or blasphemously. It's the most important question you'll ever be asked, because what you think of Jesus Christ will determine where you spend eternity. It's Him that you need, not religion. It's Him that you need, not secularism. Friends, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the person of God's Son, who came into the world, who lived and died, and rose again from the dead to give eternal life to souls of men and women. But you can't prosper. You can't prosper. You can't succeed. You can't move forward, upwards, onwards, as long as you continue hardening yourself against God. Your soul one day will be ruined forever. The Bible poses the question. This is to Christians, not to you. If God is for you, He says, who can be against you? But let me turn that question around and let me put it to you. If God is against you, who can be for you? Maybe the whole world agrees with you. But if God doesn't, you're in a bad place. And the government might agree with you. Education system might agree with you. Science might agree with you. But if God doesn't agree with you, you're in a bad place. If God is against you, you are in a very bad and a very dangerous place, I tell you. If God is against you, friends, everything is against you. There is no peace of my God for the wicked. No peace at all. No peace at all without the gospel. Without the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, that's the only road to peace. Laying down the weapons of your warfare, laying them down at the feet of Jesus, in submission, in surrender to Him, in the way of repentance and faith. That's His command to you. Today and every day, repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God's at hand. That's why. What if God's against you? You know? The word of God, every word that God speaks, every word that God has written, caused to be written down in His Bible, stands against you. The promises of God are against you. You get nothing going for you at all if God's against you. Providence of God is against you. Nothing, absolutely nothing. You continue to harden yourself against God. You cannot prosper. Everything works against you. Absolutely everything. I tell you, God can remove your health, your friends, your very life in a nanosecond. The healthiest, youngest, strongest of you. Of course, He can multiply and give it to you and sink you even further down into a reprobate state. You see, friends, there are many ways in which God can deal with you as He so pleases. But I tell you this, in the end, there is no prosperity, absolutely none, if you continue in the pathway of hardening yourself against God. And you have God's testimony to prove it. In the Bible, you can read for yourself the history from the very beginning, Genesis, right through to the very end. Show me in the Bible one person that prospered by hardening themselves against God. Cain murdered his brother Abel, did he prosper? Well, read the story for yourself. See it in the Bible. No, he didn't. The world in which Noah lived rebelled against God, laughed and mocked and scoffed at Noah as he built the ark and as he preached righteousness through them and warned them of the coming judgment of God, but they didn't listen, just like you, and the flood came and swept them all away. He drowned the world. He drowned a world that hardened itself against him. You cannot prosper, friends, if you harden yourself against God. Sodom and Gomorrah, they were steeped in the same wicked, evil, filthy sin that Britain is steeped in today. Did they prosper? They thought the same-sex marriage was good too. Did they prosper? No, they didn't. God rained down fire and brimstone upon them, destroyed them eternally. No one ever prospered who hardened themselves against God and walked at variance against God. Even the man Judas, who walked with the Savior, the one who would have delivered them from the wrath to come, even he, for 30 pieces of silver, betrayed the Savior. Friends, what would it take for you? Huh? I mean, how many pieces of silver, huh, would you sell your soul for? Huh? Some celebrity status, money, a job, I don't know. What would you sell your soul for? Huh? 30 rotten pieces of silver. Huh? In the end, the only thing the man could do was commit suicide, was top himself. That was Judas. You harden yourself against God, you can't prosper. You can't, friends. I tell you, or rather God tells you, you refuse the light, you're left in the darkness, but the darkness grows. It grows in its intensity. You cast God aside and he'll cast you aside. No peace is my God for the wicked. No hope, no joy. Nothing lasting, nothing solid, you know. Nothing really prosperous, you know. You stand against God, you harden yourself against God. You become your own worst enemy. You know? Because when a man sows, that he shall also reap, says God. So I warn you to flee from such a state and condition, to pursue after God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Godliness is profitable. You want to prosper? Any nation ever prosper without God? Any nation ever prosper without the gospel? It never did. The only thing that ever made this nation of yours prosper was the gospel. But now you turn the back on it. Now you reject it. Now you harden your heart. Now you laugh like a fool. Fool says in his heart there is no God. Careful, sir. Careful you don't choke on them chips and fall out of this world in your godless state. God sent his Son into the world that your heart might be broken, that your heart might be changed, that you might be turned from your evil and wicked ways. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, says God, but rather that they should turn. Turn ye, turn ye, turn ye. Why will ye die, says God, when there is life, eternal life to be had, to be found in the Savior and the only Savior, in Jesus Christ? Why? Why, says God? Repent ye and believe the gospel. Eternal life, friend. Your soul. Your eternal soul hangs upon that question that I put before you earlier. What think you of Christ? Your eternal soul hangs upon your answer to that question. What will you do? Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, he asked the question, what will you do? What will you do with this man? What will you do with Jesus, the Christ? And what you do with them, friends, will determine when you breathe your last where you will go. I'll tell you where you'll go to begin with, into the presence of a sin-hating and holy God who will dispatch your soul into the damnation of hell if you have not bowed the knee to King Jesus, if you have not repented and believed the gospel. We tell you the truth in love, in order that you might be saved, delivered from such an end, that rather that you hear the words of the Savior, well done, my good and faithful servant. But only through faith in his name, only in the way of repentance, only in the way of faith, only in believing can a man, a woman be justified before God. Not by the works of your hands. Nothing in your hands you bring simply to his cross. You cling. There is no other remedy for your heart condition. Faith in the Son of God, who loved sinners and who gave himself for them, that they might be redeemed, saved by the blood of the Lamb. So friend, we offer God's word to you again and issue the command of the King to you again. And again and again, that you might hear, that you might take heed, that you might be a doer of the word of God, not just a hearer. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. That's why you would like a copy of God's word. Come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your prayer.